Greetings and peace in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and welcome to Sound Doctrine, a radio ministry committed to preaching, teaching, and reaching. We are continuing to study the second chapter of Titus. We are at verse 11, and we will continue with the words that Paul communicated to Titus concerning the grace of God. And as we look at verse 11, again, I am reading from the New American Standard Bible, but we may also reference the King James Version as well. And as it reads here in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ," or Christ Jesus. In verse 14, "who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds." So this again being verses 11 through 14 in the second chapter of Titus. And we talked about the grace of God, and I referenced Ephesians chapter 2 during our last study. And I just want to continue with what Paul is communicating here to Titus regarding the motivation or the reason, the rationale for living according to what Paul has told Titus to communicate or to speak concerning sound doctrine. So this instruction that Titus is told to give, the way that Titus is to instruct or preach and teach the believers, is motivated by God's grace. And specifically, as it relates to the salvation that God has brought according to his grace. So that's the motivation for the believer. That's the motivation for the Christian to live this life that Titus is told to teach or instruct. And again, as we talk about how we conduct ourselves as believers, oftentimes what we hear, or oftentimes the way that we communicate as believers, is we seem to speak about our rights, or we seem to have so many demands as believers, and it would do us well to do what God has called us to do, and that is to live the way that God has called us to live, which is contrary to the world. And that means conducting ourselves in such a way where we are always speaking of these demands and these rights without balancing the standard for our living in accordance with the Word of God, or using the Word of God to guide us in the way that we conduct ourselves. Then, you know, it takes us off course, because we seem to focus so much on what we have the right to do, or what we deserve. And God doesn't call us to live our lives that way. I'm sorry, but he just does not. His word does not point us in that direction. He points us in a different direction. And let's see again some of what Paul is communicating here to Titus. Now, remember, we are now at the point where Paul again is giving the reason why the Christian is to live according to what Paul has instructed Titus to preach and teach in the preceding verses. So again, we're looking at now at this point, we're in chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, that has preceded where we are now, and we look at verse 11, following up on what Paul has communicated to Titus concerning sound doctrine and how the Christian is to live. And, you know, when we consider it, it's hard for, especially for the modern day Christian, if you will, to accept, because we have been shaped, molded, and told that we have to get on this bandwagon where we protest everything and demand rights for everything. And we just don't, it just doesn't appear that we understand that God has called us to a different standard of living. And that standard of living is not demanding all of our rights in this world and in this life, because the world is contrary to God. So then God calls us to be distinct, to live a life that identifies us as his people in the midst of the chaos of the world, and to not lead or follow an uprising that is contrary to the life that God has called us to live. So this is what he says, again, resuming what has been communicated in verse 11. It's, we're motivated by the grace of God that brings salvation to all. So if we have experienced this salvation according to God's kindness, according to his favor, we have been delivered. And this, again, has shined or became known, appeared to all men. So all people see this. And I'm not getting into the claim that there are other parts of the world where people have never heard the gospel. This is not the context in which this is communicated. What the Apostle Paul is saying is where you are now, where you are living, and the place in this case with those in Crete, he's saying they know. They know this. The salvation that God has provided has been proclaimed. That's one of the reasons why Titus is there. That's why he is where he is, in order to set things in order as a follow-up to the salvation that God has revealed according to his grace. So again, this is the motivation. This is the motivation for the Christian, but this is also the motivation for Titus to instruct them accordingly, according to God's word, which is, again, sound doctrine. This is according to the grace of God that has brought salvation. So what happens as a result of God's grace that brings salvation? What is the evidence, or what is the result of this grace of God that brings salvation in the lives of those who have experienced God's grace and salvation? So God has been kind. He has delivered us. So what happens next? And this is where we fail oftentimes, in my estimation, particularly in Western society, is that we say we're saved and then that's it. There's no call to higher living. And when I say higher living, I don't mean externally. I don't mean the cosmetics of religion. I mean a true godly life according to pure religion. And that is the right religion. That is trust in Jesus Christ. That is repentance from sin. That is turning to God through faith in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and living a godly life as a result of the grace of God that has brought salvation to us. So we've been delivered in order to live for God. And there has to be evidence of that. And this is what now the Apostle Paul is saying. And this is where we fail again, you know, particularly as it relates to the modern day Christian. The modern day Christian says, I'm saved, but they have nothing to do with being sanctified. That is set apart for God to live for him. It's all about saved, going to heaven. But how are you to live, Christian, in this life now, or in this age now, in this world now? And the word of God has something to say about that. And he's talking to us. So this is where we resume or continue in verse 12. Following the salvation according to the grace of God, then this grace that brings salvation now instructs us. So what does this mean? That it instructs us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires. So you're telling me that God's grace that brings salvation to all is not just about salvation? Well, yeah, it is about salvation, but salvation means that we've been delivered from sin and death and evil and wickedness in order to live above that. So this is what this grace brings to us. This grace of God brings to us a new life. Grace is not given to us as believers in order for us to continue to live a substandard life that is not pleasing to God. And that doesn't mean, again, that's not communicated in this determination to demand our rights. Now, you know, we oftentimes have the mindset, okay, now I belong to God. That means I'm supposed to get everything that I'm supposed to get in this life now. And if I don't get it, then I demand it from the world to accommodate me, to better accommodate me, because now I belong to God. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way, because the word of God says it doesn't work that way. When the Lord delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, he didn't deliver them out of Egypt in order for them to turn around or to stay in Egypt and to then demand from Egypt better accommodations. No, he said, let my people go. He didn't say, let my people stay and better accommodate my people. And so we've got to get out of that mindset that this is what God determines for his people. He tells his people, I have something better for you. But in the meantime, I've called you to live for me. I've set you free for the purpose of living for me where you are. And you let me take you on the journey, and you live in obedience to me. And this is what the grace of God teaches us. He instructs us according to his grace. The salvation that he's given us is to train us. And that's what this teaching us means in verse 12, or instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires. That is, the grace of God trains us up, educates us. This is according to his grace. So his grace is, God's grace is not a license for us to live ungodly, as so many who profess to be Christians claim, you know, that we're just sinners. We just continue in sin. We just continue to live according to our own desires. The only difference is that we just say we're saved. That's no different than the world. But what God does is he trains us up according to his grace. According to the salvation that he's given us, he instructs us. This word for instructing or teaching us, as is communicated in the King James, is training us up, educating and disciplining us. That is teaching us what is the life that we are to live according to God. And that's what follows here. So this is all about the discipline of the Christian life. That's what it's about. It's about being trained up as a Christian. It's like raising a child up. And we know that scripture that we always quote, you know, from Proverbs, train up a child in the way that he should go. And we don't understand that this is not just as it pertains to a little child, but it also is applicable to those of us who have been saved according to the grace of God. It doesn't stop, you know, we don't claim salvation and then put like an exclamation point on that as it relates to the evidence. No, we receive the salvation that God has offered us according to his grace, and then we live it out. And that is the stumbling block for the Christian today. How do you live according to the grace of God that has brought salvation? How do you live according to that? And the word of God says here in Titus chapter 2, verse 12, that God instructs us or trains us up. He disciplines us as it relates to living for him. It continues on. What is this instruction? Again, specifically, he instructs us according to his grace and the salvation that he's given us to or in order that we will deny ungodliness, that is wickedness, that which is contrary to God. So what we're supposed to do is we are supposed to contradict not God. We are to contradict everything that is in opposition to God. That is ungodliness. We are to deny that. We are to refuse that. And that's what God is instructing us to do. That's what he is training us up to do. Now, here's what the Christian will say, and the Christian will say, well, you know, nobody's perfect. Well, yeah, well, that's an understatement. But the point here is that we find contentment in that imperfection rather than being motivated to live for God. You know, there's a determination that comes with living for God. There's a desire. There's a passion. There is an appetite for pleasing God. And being trained up, you know, we think in terms oftentimes of salvation in God's grace being sort of a sleep on a job or sit on a job experience. And what I mean by that is we see it as a vacation where we live in this world however we want to live until the Lord comes back. And so we sleep and sit. And we have no motivation and no zeal, and we're certainly not challenged from the pulpit to live for God. We are certainly challenged to follow programs. We're certainly challenged to dress up and to sit in a pew on Sunday, but we are not challenged to live for God because the modern day Christian is content with sin. And I'm not taking any questions on that. I'm sorry. So as we look at what God teaches and instructs us, or how he teaches and instructs us to live according to his grace and the salvation that he has brought according to his grace, then we are to refuse this life that is contrary to God. This is the motivation. Why did God save us? In order for us to deny the wickedness that he brought us out of, to reject that. Don't go back to Egypt. Don't return to Egypt. God is taking you somewhere else. And as he takes us, he is training us up. Look at what the Lord says. He always communicates to his people. He always communicates the purpose being God's people serving God, living for God. That has always been the case. We are to live for God, to serve him. So as we continue on in verse 12, it goes on to say, not just denying ungodliness, that which is contrary to God, we are to reject that, but also worldly desires, the longing for the things of this world, that which is corrupt. And, you know, again, that is the question for us as Christians. You know, we have a love affair with this world that we just can't seem to let go of. And again, how does the Christian respond? Well, nobody's perfect. Well, you know, nobody can live the way that God calls us to live. Well, you know what? You need to take that up with God, because I don't get the feeling that he's playing. And this is not playtime. As A.W. Tozer says, this world, is it a playground or is it a battleground? And I assure you, it is a battleground. But we treat it like a playground. And the Lord calls us to live not according to the lust of this world, according to the desires of this world, to not have a longing for this world and all that is forbidden. That is what God tells us to deny. He tells us that we are to reject worldly desires. We are to reject worldly desires and the wickedness. And I don't know that we have even come to grips with the fact that the world is wicked. I'm humored when I hear so many Christians talk about taking back the land. Well, what are you going to do with it when you take it back? Because the land is corrupt. And we are not here to take the land back. We are here to focus on the promised land that God has for us. That's why he says a new heaven and a new earth. You don't have to take this back. You need to look forward to what God has for you. And he's going to speak to that as well. So stop getting so stuck on this world as if this world is our resting place. We are pilgrims and strangers. Get over that. Fall out of love with all the things that you're trying to hold on to as it relates to this world. And let go of that mantra that we got to take back the land, because God is going to destroy the land. So he has plans for it, I think, that trumps the plans that we may have for it. And let me tell you, I got a feeling that God's plans are the only plans that actually matter. So as we continue with what he communicates, okay, so we deny one thing, but we live in a different way. Or we deny the ungodliness and the worldly lusts, or as communicated in the New American Standard, denying ungodliness and worldly desires, and we are to live sensibly, righteously, and godly, not later, but in this present age. And this again is the challenge for us. So, the question being, okay, one, are we denying ungodliness and worldly desires, and then are we living sensibly, that is, with a sound mind, soberly, and according to righteousness, according to the righteousness of God, and piously, that is our devotion to God. So we are to demonstrate that now, in this present age. That means in this time in which we live, this is when we are to demonstrate that godliness. This is when we are to demonstrate that righteousness, our devotion to God, and the sobriety, the soundness of mind that we are to have as Christians, the moderation, the way that we are to live. We aren't to be contrary to God while claiming to be the people of God. We're not to live that way, and we're not to be a disruption in this world. Now, we can be perceived as a disruption, but there should be no justification to that accusation. That is, they falsely accused Jesus. Even the people of God falsely accused the prophets. So when you consider this, the motivation must be to please God, especially while we are set here in a world that is contrary to God. And I say especially because that is our purpose. Our purpose is to shine the light of righteousness in the midst of darkness and ungodliness. That is what we're not to conform to the darkness. We are to shine as lights of righteousness. And this is what God instructs us, or how God instructs us to live. This is what his grace and salvation brings. And we have this call to live this way now, not later. You hear Christians say oftentimes, we won't live this way until the Lord comes back. Well, what's the purpose and what's the point? What is the purpose and the point if we are not called to live for God now? How are we any different than anyone else except for the fact that we have this ticket punch to go to heaven? And that's it. That's the only difference, which is sickening and sad because it is contrary to God's word. God's word does not say that. No part of God's word says that. So, we go back to what God says, and the purpose of his grace and the salvation that he gives us is to be trained up to live for God in this world now, to reject the things of the world, to reject the worldly desires and the ungodliness, the wickedness, and to live for God righteously and godly now. So that is a question for the Christian. That is the immediate question. And remember, this is what Paul is telling Titus to preach and teach. This is the instruction that he's giving Titus concerning those who claim to be God's people in the midst of what you would call this rebellion that takes place in Crete. And what Paul is telling Titus is, listen, God's people are not to be a part of this resistance movement as it relates to insubordination. They are to be a part of this resistant movement as it relates to worldly lust, as it relates to wickedness, as it relates to evil. That's the resistant movement. And it's not protesting and picketing. It is living. It is living the life that God trains us up to live. And this training, again, takes a commitment. If you think about, military training and the discipline that it takes to do anything, and the process that you go through is so that you are, as the saying goes, particularly with pilots in the military, trained and trusted. Trained and trusted. And so the question for us is, are we trained and trusted by God to live for him in this life? Now, in this present world, in this present age, not for later, but for now. And so our motivation continues as it relates to what we do while we wait. Well, he says in verse 13, Paul communicates to Titus, we are looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. So this is, again, Titus chapter 2, verse 13. This is all connected. So this is how we live. God instructs us, according to his grace and salvation, to live for him, to reject the world and the ungodliness, the wickedness, to live righteously, soberly, that is sensibly, godly. Our devotion for God is to be demonstrated in this present age, at this present time, in this present place, time and place. That's what we're communicating here in the word of God. Okay, so while we're doing this, we are also looking for, right? And again, this is what I mean by not demanding all of these rights that we always demand now. He didn't say taking back the land and demanding that you are better accommodated here. He says you're looking for the hope that God has given us. And what is the hope that God has given us? And what does it mean to look for this blessed hope? Well, he is saying, again, we are awaiting with patience and confidence. That's this looking for communicates that we wait or await with patience and confidence. We eagerly await this hope that God has given us. You know, we are as well off as anybody could be well off. And that's the calling of the Christian. And this is what our longing is. And this is what our expectation is the blessed hope that God has given us, the faith that we have, the expectation and confidence that we have in his promise, the promised return of Jesus Christ. But we're going to stop here now, and God willing, we will complete the study next week. But in the meantime, remember that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. God bless you.